Hi, everybody, and good morning to you. I've been up all night here, so I may say some strange things. You know, watching and listening to the debate, as it was, well, or shall one call it the brawl? You know, it was not. It gained a lot of bad publicity, I'm afraid. But then, if you haven't seen it, it's very instructive. So please do try to see that. And what I've been doing is beginning. I'm going to do something really quite different today. And maybe for not too long a time, because I don't know how long I can stay coherent here, but perhaps it will be of interest. I'd like again to begin with invocation number 2. Because it does seem that that's the kind of period we are living in. And I should have had that ready. We have 5 of them. Yeah, here it is. Okay. The Lords of Liberation. I'm going to try to offer this quite a bit. I've received some good suggestions about that because we are in such a dangerous time, which is obviously an attack against the disciples and initiates and the hierarchy to try to obstruct these forces of obstruction, to try to obstruct a proper entry into the Aquarian age. So, especially before the time of the Great Conclave, I think a lot of that is going to be going on. And we have to use this powerful mantram, which a lot of people don't like to use because it does have so much will in it, you know. But let's, you know, now and then, at the beginning or the end of our sessions, let's say this aloud, you know, remaining on mute, but if you can say it aloud, that's even better. Let the Lords of Liberation issue forth. Let them bring the sons of men. Let the rider from the secret place come forth, and coming save. Come forth, O Mighty One. Let the souls of men awaken to the light, and may they stand with massed intent. Let the fiat of the Lord go forth. The end of woe has come. Come forth, O Mighty One. The hour of service of the saving force has now arrived. Let it be spread abroad, O Mighty One. Let light and love and power and death fulfill the purpose of the coming one. The will to save is here. The love to carry forth the work is widely spread abroad. The active aid of all who know the truth is also here. Come forth, O Mighty One, and blend these three. Construct a great defending wall. The rule of evil now must end. And you know, this was 1940, Germany had already made its way into Czechoslovakia and into Poland, and was turning its eye to the west to conquer France and eventually to bomb Britain into submission. Evil was rampant. Perhaps we might say it is not as rampant now, but beneath the surface, these lesser dragons are doing their work, and humanity might succumb to the glamour. We have to work in such a way that it does not. At least we have to make our contribution. I do want to welcome you, Annette and Catherine and Chris, Ishtar and Joe, Karen, Carrie, Leslie and Mariana and Mariut, Martha, Martine, Miro, Natni, and Nicole, Risto, Vera, Zenaide, and Veronica. And Michael is helping me as usual over here on the right-hand side. Now, the difference in what will be done today, I'm not continuing with the particular reading that was slated. I'm fresh from being, you know, as I say, awake all night and appalled by the debate as it occurred. So I thought to myself, okay, what can we do here? I'd like us to take a look at the horoscope of Donald Trump and of Joe Biden. Maybe a little bit in terms of the triangles that we have been studying. And remember that this particular page, page 332 and 333 of Esoteric Astrology, has in it the discussion of how the signs work for the undeveloped man, the advanced man, and the disciple initiate. Now, there's no hard and fast rule here, but we can connect those qualities that have to do with the moon with the undeveloped man. The sun sign, when it's being properly used, can be connected with the advanced man and the rising sign leading to the center of soul life can be connected with the disciple and even the initiate. So this is a very good chart for navigating. And the first of all, I want to, hoping that you'll be able to see, work with the chart of the president, who has the moon in Sagittarius, and I'm going to kind of circle the cursor. Some of you may not be familiar with reading a chart, and his sun is in the opposite sign, Gemini. So that's kind of like a full moon birth. And his rising sign, well, you know, it is probably the last degree of Leo, but there is reason to believe that the first degree of Virgo is also prominent. Now, that is the kind of triangle we've been talking about, the moon, the sun, and the rising sign. The spontaneity, see, I can read this in two ways. If it was a character of a high development, we would have a spontaneous reaction. We would have a flexibility which could unite people in Gemini, because Gemini is always putting together the pairs of opposites rather than dividing them. And we could have a person who, with the rising sign Leo, was a real example to others. Now, when you're dealing with 2.5 degrees on either side of an important astrological point, like the ascendant, there's an overlap. So there's kind of 5 degrees here, which are a mixture of Leo and of Virgo. But the person could shine as an example and have a deep inner authority and realize not just that I am, but I am that. And the light of the soul could shine through the two brothers in Gemini, or the brother and the sister, depending on how you want to look at it. Sorry for my kind of morning voice, exacerbated by a full night of, being up. And the spontaneity of the moon in Sagittarius. Now, what does it say here? If we look, however, at the undeveloped persona, or at least the selfish persona, we could apply the moon to Sagittarius, and it says self-centeredness and the experimental approach, kind of shoot from the hip, rely upon your own spontaneity, don't plan, don't think ahead in a constructive manner, but to do what you feel like doing at the moment you feel like doing it. So there is the reckless aspect of Sagittarius. When it comes to the sun in Gemini, going up here a little bit, it depends on the quality of the person. If the quality of the person is not that advanced, then it's called mutation of relation. And I serve myself. Well, we certainly see that happening. I serve my brother. Well, if the sun sign were functioning properly without the deviousness of Gemini, he actually criticizes the United Kingdom in earlier days because of the misuse of the Gemini energy. And there is sometimes negatively a kind of inherent cowardice involved with Gemini. So we're not exactly in the place where we can say, I serve my brother, with that sun sign. And certainly not in the place where we would say, I serve the one. I'm sorry for the frog in my throat at the moment. hoping that a little water will help. Now, when it comes to Leo, a rising sign does not have to be the indicator of soul energy. It all depends on the stage of evolution. As I've pointed out, or tried to point out, I believe our precedent is in the process of working on the fifth petal of the egoic lotus. That leads all the way from extreme self-centeredness through a great fall to awakening up to the possibilities of aspiration, and finally, later, much later, to the first initiation. So this idea of the lower self, the hidden point, is certainly possible. Now, what is also possible with Leo rising is the idea of a higher self, and that one would really have a conscience and would consult with this higher of the pairs of opposites, the higher self. The revealing point, I guess the point is kind of, it's the a point of spirituality, and it's a point of individual identity. And then again, you know, ideally, but not always, of course, and depending upon the stage of evolution, the one self would be the goal, because Leo has a great deal of that oneness in it. It is the will to fulfillment. It's the most second ray of the first ray signs, I might say, because it's the second in order of Aries, Leo, and Capricorn. Now, those are all first ray, but it's second in order, and it's second in order of the fire signs. So it does have the potential for this seeing the oneness, and then you give up your point of egotism, and you are found everywhere in the one self. Now, so there's different ways of interpreting this triangle. Now, probably how it is working out right now, given the character of the president, is there is much randomness and spontaneity of a rather incoherent kind. You know, as they say about Sagittarius, he jumped on his horse and rode off in all directions. So it is not a planning indication. And it is inherited from the past, because it's right next to the South Node. Now, I'm not going to get too much into the discussion of this whole chart. Obviously, the use of authority with the Sun and the North Node together, very, very close, is of importance. And the peculiar thing is that rather than bring the opposites together, the presence of Uranus so close to the Sun in Gemini is splitting the opposites apart. And there is much deviousness that is accompanying the sign Gemini. There's also plenty of difficulty, you know, in relation to women, because Saturn and Venus are together. It could be an initiatory indication. In this case, it is not. But the real, and the sign Cancer, the obvious nepotism is there, because the ruler of Gemini, you always have to look at the Orthodox ruler, and as well the esoteric ruler of the sun sign. But it's in the sign Cancer. And the whole thing about being in real estate and having properties and having a great trust only in one's own family, really, is the result of this Mercury and these other Cancerian planets. Now, adding to the problem, if you look down here, we will see that Neptune is pretty closely square to that Mercury, which is the tendency to misrepresent. And we call it lying. Not only is Gemini associated with that kind of misrepresentation, but its ruler is square to Neptune, that can be the deceiver. So the honesty of Sagittarius is not working. The invention, dreaming things up of Sagittarius, that is working. So there is a misrepresentation, but the real trouble that leads to this rather profound self-centeredness and egotism is having Mars in Leo on the ascendant, right here. This, in its square to the midheaven, you see, it's quite within two degrees. Mars is the great divider, the one that splits things apart and looks at life in terms of the opposites. There are friends, there are enemies. And no attempt, the idea is to overcome your enemies. You don't make friends with them. You overcome them. And you incite to war and friction. Mars and Leo, you know, even if the ascending sign is Virgo, which would have a lot to do with racial discrimination, because as we know, Virgo at first, before it becomes the Christ consciousness, can be extremely discriminative as to what it will accept. And there's so many things in the physiognomy and the way the mouth is used and all that, that point towards Virgo. So it really is an overlap. But the reason that the country is so divided at this point has to do with the example set of Mars on the ascendant, dividing and conquering. At least that's the attitude that is chosen. So it means not peace, but war. And tonight, the statement was made to, will you renounce, how is it called, white supremacy? And he would not do that. He would not renounce it because so many of his supporters, who are Martian types, by the way, believe in white supremacy. There are, and now in Europe, neo-Nazi groups are, I just read, surfacing with strength. So we know the lodge of materialism is in back of all this, and trying for a repeat of what was not successful in the Second World War. So he said to his white supremacist group, especially the so-called Proud Boys, stand back and stand by, meaning that your opportunity for violence will come. And this is the old Roman tradition indicated by Mars and Leo on the ascendant. And Virgo is the part of Virgo here. Let's see what it says. Yeah. It says the germinating energy, the mother. Well, I don't think we can get a complete idea there. It's certainly not the protector, and it's certainly not the Christ. It is discriminating protection, let us say, of those groups that he considers worthy to be American. Wealthy, not black, not brown, only white. It is discrimination for the white male. And with the women, Mars in on the ascendant and in the Virgo range, with the women he fights, as indicated by Saturn and Venus. Now, look, this could be a great horoscope depending upon the quality of the person. The person could be spontaneous and humorous and freedom loving. The person could bring together the pairs of opposites. The person could sh stand as a shining example and begin to really cultivate the Christ consciousness, but that's not what we have. What we have is the condition of the form. The astrology is one thing, but how it all works out, excuse me, will depend upon the form. It will depend upon the condition that we find the form. And I'm convinced that quite a number of lives of selfishness lie behind the condition of the form. Now, many things can be said about this horoscope, but that Mars is the most dangerous, and the Gemini is duplicitous. It entertains opposite points of view simultaneously, and from one point of view seeks to deceive the other, and from the other point of view seeks to deceive the original. So it is again a split rather than a coming together. And then, there's a lot of things about the money and the possessions and all that, but that's not what I want to get into. So the triangle is Sagittarius, Gemini, and Leo Virgo. Now, Sagittarius and Gemini together could indicate truly the disciple. I think on page, if I'm correct here, let's see, I'm not sure. Page 50 of the astrology book. Yeah, here it is. Gemini and Sagittarius, and elsewhere it describes this as the disciple. And the aspirant is somewhat described by Cancer Capricorn, at least in this particular way of looking, as the Tibetan has given it to us, and the Great Bear, more the first ray, Aries, Libra, and the initiate. But Gemini, Sagittarius, and Mercury, when used properly, can be an excellent combination. any combination given the proper condition of the form can be used well. It's just that in this case, it's not. Now, let's, I won't get into, you know, who's going to win the election. You know, I'm not sure that any astrologer can tell you that right now. But let's just say that there's a lot of opposition to these Cancer planets coming from Saturn and from Pluto. Jupiter opposes as well, and that gives some opportunity and some popularity. This we have seen. And the moon, which we should always trace, is in Virgo as well. He's just had, within the last 14 months or so, or 16 months, a new moon in Virgo. The sun, the progressed sun and progressed moon, both in Virgo. Excuse me, I'll have a little water. So the whole idea of separating the good people from the bad people, the people who support from the people who don't, this negatively discriminative attitude is how it's being used. Now, here is the other horoscope, if I can find it. And this is the challenger, Vice President Biden, whose triangle is the moon in Taurus in its exalted position, steady, and to a certain degree stubborn, and resisting change, but stable. And the sun in Scorpio, very significant place in the 12th house. So much hidden suffering. And Sagittarius is the rising sign. Now here he's the, well, you know, this is a very earthy position, this moon in Taurus. And it says selfish desire. If this was a selfish man, it could work out that way with the moon there. However, the moon is also exalted in Scorpio. And so many of Alice Bailey's associates, Foster Bailey, William Miller, Eugene Cosgrove, a number of them, they had this moon in Taurus. And I suppose it meant the tendency towards illumination in their particular case, because they were disciples after all. The whole life is a scorpionic life, complete with scorpionic losses. It's the sign of death and tragedy and so forth. And he lost his wife, was it, and one of his young child in a car accident, was it? And his son, with whom he was very close, died. He knows what loss is. Now, this can lead to bitterness, or it can lead to regeneration. And this, I just noticed this. Oh, that in the same way that the present president has Mars on the ascendant, okay, there it is, Joe Biden has Venus on the ascendant. It's close. It's as close, just about as close to the ascendant as the Mars position is for Donald Trump. But not only that, the Venus and the Sun are conjuncted, which means, of course, depending upon the quality of the individual, it means that the soul is at work. The solar angel is influential, and the power to light up a dark place. The darkness of Scorpio lit up by the illumination of the soul, by the illumination of the solar angel. So, out of all of that suffering and loss, with Venus, a sacred planet, and the Sun veiling a non-sacred planet, there is redemption and some spiritual gain of a very subjective and intangible nature. And this, of course, one can feel. This is I think the rays are different, but this is the compassion factor. And with Sagittarius rising, Jupiter becomes an important planet, and it's in Cancer, where, well, I guess the word welfare is prominent, and meaning to take care of a lot of people as if they were family, to be able to treat them as if they were family. This Jupiter in Cancer as the ruler of the Sagittarian ascendant. And also, you know, kind of interest, well, I don't want to get into the whole chart here, you know, but Earth is the esoteric ruler of Sagittarius, and it's right here with Uranus opposing the Sun. Earth is right there, as you see. So there is more of the latent revolution, a real transformation in this man than at first appears likely with that moon in repetitive Taurus that does not change so easily. What does Sagittarius mean when it's the rising sign? Well, if it's used correctly, it will mean the director of men. There will be a one-pointedness, a stick-to-itiveness, a directed approach. Now, his sun sign, the fighter, the conflict with duality, and he says, okay, this is a battle for the soul of America. Deep down, he believes that to be the case. I don't look at him as an opportunist. I look at him as a person who, in the ripeness of his training through suffering, has reached his time to emerge. Now, you know, it's not all roses. You can be very resistant to change with the moon in Taurus. You can, you can plot and you can plan and you can deceive with the sun in Scorpio, and you can use your natural magnetism in a kind of way that attracts people for your own satisfaction, but not for theirs. And with Sagittarius, you know, there's always that factor of leaping before you look. It's reckless. That would be if the man were of a quality where those negative traits would come through. But we recognize that suffering has done its work. This doesn't mean perfection by any means, but at the same time, it does mean that some of the vices of the Hydra have been overcome because of suffering. And there is a kind of humility of being a human being. Humility. You know, and that precisely is the problem with the Leo energy. There is no a real humility at first. There is a distortion, and that is in the other chart, where the ego and self-centeredness takes the center of the stage. But in this case, suffering has done its work, the soul is speaking, and there is a fight on for the soul of that Gemini nation, United States, especially its personality, its Gemini personality, which the other, which the president represents. So, Taurus illumination and stick-to-itiveness, and probably what planet is it veiling? Well, the moon always veils something. My guess for Biden is that there's a natural affinity with Vulcan, but really the moon is veiling Neptune, which is the planet of a deep sensitivity to others. Lots of suffering going on there. And I think the moon veils Neptune in his case. When it comes to the sun sign, well, let's see where Mars may be. Mars is, oh my goodness, Mars is also in Scorpio. And the Scorpionic quality is strong because Pluto is in Leo. So both of those signs have to be taken in, both Leo and Scorpio, but Mars and Scorpio, really the fighter. Still decent, but you know, they had this, these two know each other from who knows when, and Biden kind of half jokingly said, well, let's go out behind the barn and see who comes out. So he does mean it. The battle is on, and he'll have should he win, a tremendous battle. Now, it's also interesting that the highest planet in his chart, 19 degrees, let's see, or one of the highest. Yeah, well, it's just 18, 19 with the mid, it's Chiron and Neptune. See? Here's Chiron about 21 degrees from the midheaven. And here is Neptune about 18 degrees. Basically, the midheaven is the midpoint between the healer, Chiron, and the compassion, Neptune. And so it is possible that the healing, that he talks about, come together. It's a very second-rate talk. Come together, we're going to work it out. It's different from divide and conquer. Now, notice that Chiron is very close to the North Node, which means that this is what he is obliged to do. As North Node, the dragon's head, that's where you assimilate the new. And really fascinating is that Chiron, who is also the master, he is the great teacher, the Chiron sits on President Trump's ascendant within 1 degree or 2 degrees at the most. So this is a man who is teaching a lesson as the teacher, and the one who learns is supposed to be the other one with Leo on the ascendant. 29 degrees Leo, 28 degrees Leo for the Chiron here. 29 for the Trump's ascendant. So his triangle, how it probably works out, is he sticks to his principles, moon in Taurus. He knows some psychology and is basically born in the Cancer part of Scorpio, meaning that he does look at people as a broader family, we might say. Let's come together and solve this. It's a deeply subjective attitude. And as much as there is a recklessness with the truth in the other horoscope, here we have the goal as truth and leveling with the people as much as possible, and the Sagittarius ascendant. So those are the major triangles. You can always count on, I mean, there are other triangles here, of course, but you can always count on the moon, the sun, and the ascendant as a triangle, which has to be examined carefully to see where the man is going. Here is direction towards the truth. In the other chart, we seem to have a kind of resistant, duplicitous egotism, which has to be defended at all costs. It's a fake self, we might say. One part of the self is real, and then there is the made-up self or alter ego coming in under Gemini. Okay, well, that's basically, you know, I'm not doing the complete chart, not by any means, but I am trying to point out the triangle and the couple of features of it, the triangle in each case. And I want to just say that, you know, about Virgo, if it's used in a negative sense, it's very discriminative in the sense of separating this from that, this person from that person. This person is good, that person is bad. This person is desirable, this person is not desirable. Why don't the people in Norway come and emigrate to the United States? You know, that's how that was, because they're Nordic and they're wealthy, and come to the United States. Well, that is discriminating against people of color and discriminating against the Amazon queen, basically. discriminating against women. Here in Biden's horoscope, we have the opposite. Somehow there's much in his psychology that is feminine and accepting and inclusive. And as much as the other individual is exclusive, this Jupiter in Cancer makes Vice President Biden very embracing and inclusive, and especially of women's issues become very, very strong. And he will, I think, if he wins here, he will really try to be the president for everybody and will maintain a certain balance, which is not possible in the other case. All right, so that's it. And if you have any thoughts or questions about these two charts, I guess I'm not doing too much with November the 3rd. And I know that, okay, I'm an American largely, and why am I talking about the United States so much? But I am, because it can be, this election can be so important for whether democracy or despotism wins. As DK said, the battle for democracy will be fought out in the United States. And his words have proved prescient. So many people now say, look, 4 more years of this and we do lose our democracy. This is the progress chart of Vice President Biden. And, you know, some very promising things here. He is elderly, but he has the strength of purpose and not just the strength of lower ego behind him. His progress moon is in Pisces, exactly conjunct Venus right now. So again, he's dealing with solar angelic issues, the higher of the pairs of opposites. The soul really is shining. And interestingly enough, Neptune, this planet of compassion, is exactly at the fourth house cusp at this time. And this is, you know, oftentimes said to be your country, your home, your fourth house. Well, there's a lot to go through, a lot to look at, but I've given, I think, a few thoughts that you may want to think about or you may want to comment upon. And I'll turn it over right now to whomever would like to say something.
And Michael, Vera's hand is raised.
Okay, Vera, go ahead.
I noticed that the Joe Biden's chart, the overall pattern, there were several of those grand squares, you call it, or crosses.
Yes.
And the chart looks almost like arrested. And I was recently watching some sort of documentary about him. And it seems like in the crucial, he had a lot of setbacks in his upward trajectory to become president. Either he screwed up by lying or a tragedy strike like the death of his older son. What is your view about those overall patterns, like I mentioned, this grand T-cross, or how is it called?
Yeah, it is a big square. You know, the interesting thing is the square, when it mounts towards the center, can bring about synthesis. The grand square that I see is kind of Chiron, the sun, yeah. Venus, sun, Venus.
Yeah.
It also, well, there, it's not exactly Aquarius except by sign. And here we have two asteroids, so maybe not as strong, but there is Uranus. And so we yeah. have we have a T cross with the Chiron, which by the way is very important in Sagittarius. Chiron is at the short arm of the T cross. I don't know what else I could put after it, maybe the South Node or something like that. I'm wondering if I'm missing any other thing, but let's just say that he actually is capable of providing mm-hmm. the kinds of thoughts needed to bring about a greater perspective and some degree of healing. He can work out a transformation involving the solar angel, involving the archetype, which is Uranus, and it all focuses right up here on this very important Chiron, which is in the house of philosophy or higher point of view, and which is something he has to do because it is the North Node. So when he talks about bringing people together for discussion and healing and all of that kind of thing, he does mean it, and I think he is capable. There's, you know, as the Tibetan said, a lot of suffering in store for the United States, and we're just entering that, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that particular T-cross is the one. It's got the nodal axis, the karmic axis in it.
Mm-hmm.
And plus the sun opposite, basically Venus. And there too, you see, that Uranus opposite Venus and the sun, that's part of that accident that killed his wife and child. And let's see. Oh, yeah. Well, the fifth house of children, you know, it's the, let's see what's happening with Mars. Mars in Scorpio. And Mars and Pluto are square to each other. 12 degrees Mars, 7 degrees Leo, and that rules the house of children. So there's the death there. It is a chart of transformation, and if there's anybody who's learned a lot through suffering, it's this man. And I think you could say, you know, we're dealing with someone in the probationary initiate range. With Donald Trump, he's still leading up to that. He has not suffered sufficiently. And the blasted tower, Trump Tower in this case, has not seen his fall, which can one day make him an aspirant. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, if we really want to get into the chart, there's mm-hmm. more, you know, there's more.
Yeah.
Okay. Excuse me. I'm kind of, you know, as I say, I've been up all night. I'm a little bit close to being wiped out here, but I'll do my best.
And I am still looking for hands or questions, comments posted in the chat box, but I'm not seeing any at the present.
Well, you know, I think it's important to look at the horoscope. We have pretty accurate horoscopes for these two people. And, you know, even the way Biden sort of rushes his words all together, that's that Sagittarius ascendant again, you see. Some things about astrology you just can't escape. But I'll tell you, I'm really heartened by seeing that Sun and Venus together in the last degrees of Scorpio, because it means light in a dark place. And, you know, some people say, okay, we're going to be in a very dark place come November. They tend to see it that way, and maybe it will be so. Let's see, that's the four. I'm trying to find this. Sometimes the Sabian symbols are interesting. This is interesting. His Venus has the symbol, an Indian woman pleading to the chief for the lives of her children. There are themes that keep on recurring here about feeling with people and struggling somehow to help them. That's all I can say. Let's see what the one before that is that has the... Well, I don't think this is going to tell us a whole lot. The King of the Fairies approaches his domain. It takes us back to Oberon and A Midsummer Night's Dream, you know, played by Shakespeare. And I guess, to me, it speaks at this time of another worldly, otherworldly influence, not just materialism, not by any means, but other dimensions. You know, and I can't help but feel that his son who died and who made his father almost swear that he would run for president one last time is somehow involved behind the scenes in furthering this this attempt to redeem the soul of America. But you'd have to think psychologically and spiritually in order to begin to think that that was a possibility. It's not just a question of who's employed or not employed, or who's making the money or not. Those are important issues, but the spiritual dimension is in this chart with that Sun Venus in the 12th house. So has anybody come up or not? If not, I can't say that I'd be unhappy about it, because I wouldn't mind getting a little sleep, but if there is,
Karen said, very helpful, thank you. And Carrie writes, this is very fascinating, Michael. If you're not too exhausted, would you go even deeper?
Well, of course I would. But since this is the trying, you know, the... this is on the science of triangles. I wanted to kind of hit that particularly. Now, one thing I do want to say, I'll say this. We know that the fourth ray is the ray of agonizing and pain and suffering. So maybe it's not a surprise to see in Biden's chart the three signs which bring in the fourth ray, all of them having an important point. Taurus has the moon. Scorpio, which is the major source of the fourth ray, has Mars, Mercury, Sun, Venus. That's a scorpionic life. The last of the signs that brings in the fourth ray, Sagittarius, and it is the ascending sign. So at least astrologically, Biden has this fourth ray of inner struggle, especially when it's involved with Scorpio, all over the chart. Every one of the fourth ray triangle members has got a significant planet or the ascendant in it. And, you know, and that's news to me, too, because it does mean the battle is on. Conflict with duality, the higher and the lower, and the reconciliation of the two using the fourth ray. Now, you could look for other triangles, you know, and probably we would find something. But Scorpio is taking up so much, so much of this chart. It's really, really interesting. And Saturn is in Sagittarius. Wait, is that possible? Hold on. No, Saturn is in Gemini. I should know that. So we have Gemini. Let's see if there's any other ray triangles involved here. We have the midheaven in Virgo, so Gemini and Virgo. And an asteroid. Oh, gosh, the more I look, the more I see. This is a very good indication. I mean, you know, look, everybody's got their faults. And, you know, that whole thing, it's nothing compared to Trump, where he's actually a rapist, okay? But, you know, Biden has a soft spot for the ladies, and he has demonstrated that. But take a look at the mother asteroid down at the bottom of the chart. It's almost exactly conjunct within 11 minutes of arc. It is conjunct the home, the family, the nation. And this is the mother asteroid taking care of, looking after, guarding. In the compassionate sign Pisces. Again, this is the man who does actually care about his country. You know, the attitude was so clear. He and his wife paid about $300,000 in taxes. And that's a real act of patriotism as well as law. And the head of the government pays $750,000 and probably just did that for the sake of appearances. And that's no patriotism whatsoever. It just means that he's, in his own words, he's smart. So the difference in the love nature is that Biden is way ahead in the love nature. The other individual is flamboyant, histrionic, somehow offering showmanship and loads of egotism. But the nepotism was outstanding. It's coming out lately that he wanted his daughter to run as the vice president. And that's not just a story that no one would dare write such a story unless there was truth in it. So there's a blindness there. And people who follow the left-hand path of selfishness have to be very careful because DK calls the lords of of materialism. He says that they are journeying far into the land of distances because they are uniquely blind, uniquely blind. And that's the situation that we have. Well, it's just the main thing is the cluster in the 12th house, and that is very releasing, I do believe, in a spiritual, psycho-spiritual sense, and shows that there is a sincere religion and a sincere attempt to talk to the other side. One can only imagine conversations going on with the inner worlds. In the case of the president, he was mocking the religious people after they left, saying, "Can you believe this stuff? You know, basically, the spirituality has not yet developed." Anyway, you know, we could go planet by planet and so forth, but I think it's best. You know, one of my friends who's a really good astrologer, he's been living in Berkeley, I don't know, for 50 years or whatever. He said, "Well, Trump has a really lucky chart, a lucky chart." And I was looking at it, the Jupiter is basically trine the sun and the north node and Uranus. Yeah, there is some luck there. And we've seen how many things that would stick to other people are not sticking to him. And all I can say is I hope it's not going to be too lucky, because the United States is a project of the hierarchy. And it cannot be, must not be spoiled by those who represent the other side and don't even know it, you see. So the difference in evolution is what was abundantly clear. Now, they may not have had any more lives than each other. Who knows? That kind of thing. But in terms of what one evolved into and what the other evolved into, there is a clear contrast. So, you know, maybe we can, if I think of other things to say and it fits with our program, then I will, you know, I will bring them up. But you know, you can pretty well see the aggression, you can see the wealth, you can see the deception, you can see the trouble that he has with women, basically. You can see the egotism, you can see it. And it helps to know. Also, you know, to look at the November 3rd chart and the period following would be instructive. If Biden does get in, he's going to have a heck of a time because of all the squares coming up to his Scorpio planets. So it'll be a huge test. But these are the tests of discipleship. The other individual is being tested to see whether he can even become an aspirant and is still a long way from that possibility. Okay? Okay. Well, I think maybe that's it then.
There's nothing else written in the chat box, and there are no hands. I did put in the chat box the upcoming events for later today, tomorrow, and Friday.
I think tonight I have the pre-full moon. Is that it? Correct. The 30th pre-full moon in Libra.
Today is
30th.
Wednesday, the 30th.
Yeah.
And we've got the sacred pentagram at 5 p.m. and the pre-full moon at 7 p.m.
Okay. And it'll be on Zoom. On Zoom.
The sacred pentagram will be on Zoom. The pre-full moon will be on GoToWebinar.
Right. That's correct. Okay. And then the sacred pentagram continues.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, friends, okay. Thank you for being here. And a little bit of a change in our approach, but I thought it might be very, appropriate given what we basically have been going through right now. I don't know how many of you are reading the feedback on this. I've never seen so many commentators kind of appalled by what went on. And they look at it as a great embarrassment for humanity, for the United States, which I think it is. And the other group sees it as the best debate performance that the president has ever given. So it's obvious that we have issues regarding perception, to say the least, to say the least. But somehow the karma of all of this is coming ripe, and it can be hoped that those who are closer to the Great White Lodge, the Syrian group, that they will prevail. This battle in the personality of the United States is not over. And I think we have almost 100 years when the battle will be continuing. It seems like a long time. But eventually, and in the year 2117, technically, according to the Tibetan, the age of Aquarius will begin as the vernal equinox goes into the 30th degree of Aquarius. The sixth ray will be temporarily abstracted. The sign Pisces will be abstracted for a long time, and then we'll begin to see what our Aquarian civilization can be. So let's close with great invocation. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, Let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Om. Om. Okay, friends, thank you. And this will be ready before long. Just have to convert it, you know, and then this kind of shorthand analysis according to the triangles will be available if one wants to review it. So, take care, and some of you, anyway, we'll see you tonight for the Sacred Pentagram. That'll be the second day of the Sacred Pentagram. And also for the pre-full moon work in Libra. Let choice be made. Let choice be made. Okay. Bye-bye, and lots of love and many blessings to everybody.